August 23rd, 2009. The following was recorded at North Branch Reformed Church in Bridgewater, New Jersey, in the United States. Please visit us online at nbrc.com.
Brothers and sisters, I welcome you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask if you'll join me in our call to worship this morning that can be found in your bulletins. There's a specific piece for you to follow along in, as is our practice often with the call to worship, but we're also asking you to be spontaneous a little bit this morning. So if you'll notice in here, I'll begin with our call to worship, ask you to follow up with your praises, then I'll follow that with a give thanks to the Lord for He is good, and then your response would be, if you're looking, God's steadfast love endures forever. Okay, we'll give it a shot. We'll see how it works. Out of the overflow of your lives this week, for what do you praise God this morning? And you got to say it loud for me. Air conditioning. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. What else? Being spared from the hurricane. We give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. A niece being home and doing much better. We give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For 23 years in the church, as the Erstats move off to Delaware, we give thanks for those 23 years for the Lord, and He is good. Now, see, I wasn't going to repeat that because everybody laughed, though I think those that didn't hear it, I probably have to. So we give thanks to the Lord for grandchildren who keep us either alive or make us dead, I think was how it was, young or make us dead. So we give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For just being able to sit in a pew this Sunday morning, we give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. We'll combine the two, being able to relax and Guitar Hero. We give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. You trailed off on me at the end, but give thanks to the Lord for the missionaries throughout the world who share the gospel. We give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. There's much more that we can continue to give thanks for, and we celebrate together today. And another way that we give thanks and praise is by standing and singing. So let's do that.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, may the living God be praised in our lives, in all that we do, and especially in the way that we care for one another and love one another in the same way that God loves us. So let us now take a moment to greet those around us and care for each other. Well, it's nice to be so friendly. I got to put the kibosh on it. I'm sorry to take that role. Mark is going out to get ready for his class, so I am going to take over a little earlier than normal. Will you join me? We're people who praise God, and we're people who confess our sins. And we don't confess it, or we don't have to confess it to a person. We confess it directly to God, and we do that together. And would you do that with me by praying the prayer written in your bulletin? Praying, foundation of life, we build our lives on many faltering foundations. We build upon the rickety foundation of money, the slippery foundation of human love, the collapsing foundation of patriotism. Continue the prayer with me, please. Help us to build upon Jesus Christ, who alone is our rock. Amen. And from the scripture story this morning, the wise life is about the wise life built upon the rock of hearing and doing God's word. Jesus said, read with me, the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. May we also find that rock and security for our lives this morning in Jesus Christ and beginning now through this forgiveness. Amen. Invite the children to come forward and join in the children's message.
Good, I got the big boys to support me here. Yeah.
One of our big guys is going away to the University of Delaware this
week. Best school ever.
Sunday here.
There you go. Well, good morning, you guys. How are you all? Good. Well, you know what? We got a little bit of a different morning this morning. There's a little bit of sunshine out there, right? Yeah. But how many of you have been around for some of those great thunder and lightning storms we've had lately? Yeah, really? Wow. But you've seen a lot of them? We've had quite a few. How many of you really, really like lightning and thunder? Good for you. How about, how many of you don't like lightning and thunder? Yeah, me, I'm really afraid of that lightning thing. I get really nervous and kind of scared. Yeah. And you'd be toasted chicken. So sometimes lightning could be a little scary, I think. So that makes me even more nervous to be out in the lightning. Well, let me tell you about this. Let me ask you first of all, if it starts to lightning and thunder, what's really probably the best thing to do? Yeah. What? Okay. Cave. Not a tree, but a house. Okay. So like a cave or a house, or sometimes if you're outside at the park, it's good to run back to your car and get in the car because they say that's a pretty safe place to be. Okay. And when we're in that safe place, even though we might not, like me, even though I might not like the lightning and the thunder and it makes me nervous and I don't really think it's such a great thing, I'm safe because then the lightning and the thunder can't get to me. What? You can tell me later, okay? Okay, cool. So anyway, so you're safe when you're in a car, you're in the house, and the lightning and the thunder and anything that might be scary out there isn't really so bad anymore. Do you know that's what it's like with God? That we have a lot of things in our life that are scary and things that we really don't like at all. Things that make us nervous and things that just aren't going well. But God says that if we trust in Him, that He'll protect us and take care of us. It's like when the lightning comes, if you run inside, you're protected. And God says when things happen in your life that make you a little nervous or you're a little scared about and things just don't seem like they're going well, that if we take it to God and we trust in Him, He'll take care of us. And sometimes that's sort of hard to believe, but He promises us that. He says that He will take care of us. Just like a car keeps us safe from the lightning and a house keeps us safe from the lightning, God will keep us safe in all the stuff that might not be so great in our lives, and so that we can kind of get through those bad times into the good times when the sun comes out. So let's close our eyes and let's have a little word of prayer and thank God for all of His really cool things that He does for us. Dear God, we have a lot of times in our lives when things don't seem so great, lightning and thunder and things that we don't understand. But we know that if we trust in You and we take our problems to You, You will help us through them and You will take Your protective arms and wrap yourselves around us. For that, we give You thanks and praise. Amen.
Cool. Good job. Hey.
Be seated. I might want to do that chorus just after the announcements again. It seems a shame to such a beautiful chorus not to go right into Thy Word, but let me do the announcements first. And as we have printed, because otherwise I'll never get to them and I'll forget. First of all, most of you, if you're a member or a regular visitor, should have received a letter from us this week about a new schedule of a contemporary and then a traditional blended service. And if you didn't get it, it's printed right here on page 2 of your liturgy. So take a look at that. That will be our 2009-2010 schedule. Also, if you look with me on pages 5 and 6, and I believe I also have someone making a verbal announcement, so if they're here, they can come forward, so I don't forget them either. You'll notice on page 5, if you have signed up for our free luxury box in Somerset Patriots, they're your tickets. It says here how you can get them in the office. So please do that this week so we don't have to find you before the game. Also on page 6, a heartfelt goodbye. The Erstats, Bob and Sandy, would you stand up wherever you are, have been here for almost a quarter of a century. And they have, 23 years, it's close. And you've been so involved in the church on consistory and in so many Christian education and fellowship ministries. And it's so kind of you to write a thank you to us, but we really owe a thank you to you. So thank you for your ministry here. And if you're ever inclined to send some of that sales tax reduction in Delaware up to New Jersey, I'll give you an address to send it to. I believe those are my announcements. And Jen, you want to make one yourself here about the preschool playground.
I'm going to direct your attention to page 6 right at the bottom under preschool. We are in desperate need of volunteers to help us build our playground. The congregation was so wonderful to help us raise over $28,000 to go towards the building of the new material that's going to go out there. We have a tunnel, a slide, a rock wall, 4 swings and the swing set going in, some really fun things for the kids, but we need volunteers. There's a sign-up sheet out in the hallway on the preschool bulletin board, so if you'd be kind enough to share your name, your phone number, and your email address, we'll add you to our list for Thursday and Friday, September 10th and 11th from 6 p.m. on. And then again, our big build day when we have the playground contractor coming is September 12th. We need to guarantee 30 volunteers for that day. So if you or someone you know might be interested in helping us out, please add your name to the list and we'll get in touch with you to give you some follow-up information. Thank you very much.
Let's do that last slide in that chorus one more time, okay? Pray with me. Jesus, we need your lamp, your light for our path, for many different paths that we're all taking together, but the paths are your path, for we follow Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So give us that lamp and that light now as we hear your word read and proclaimed and we live it this week. In your name we pray, and all God's people say.
Please stand for the reading of the scripture. The reading today is Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who has built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, when Jesus has finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as their scribes. This is the word of the Lord.
may be seated. If you hear a sound like a train coming, you hide behind the water heater here. So said my dad to me about the most reinforced part of the basement. It was Palm Sunday of 1965. It was the very first day that my younger brother was home from the hospital. And there he lay, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a dirty clothes basket. It was about 6 o'clock at night. I remember that evening services had been canceled because of a tornado warning, and everything was dark outside. I could hear the wind howling. I could hear the rain hitting the floors above from the basement. I could hear the hail 2 stories above on the roof. It was so strong. And my parents were listening to a crackling radio for the latest weather update. I was listening for my train sound. And I was excited in a sort of scared 5-year-old sort of a way. So I asked, "Mom, if the tornado comes, will we be safe?" My mother said, "Yes, don't worry, Todd. You know, they just damages things above the ground. You know, we're below the ground. We'll be fine." Good thing I didn't know how they barely survived the tornado of 54 in Grand Rapids, Michigan. How that was a time when apparently there was not a tornado warning system, or they didn't get the warning, and they didn't even know in that day to go down into the basement. And so they huddled with my older brother, the only one of the three of us at that time, who was a toddler. They huddled the three of them by what they thought was the strongest part of the house, the stone fireplace. It was the most dangerous place to be. They didn't know that. And that time, the tornado did touch down on our street. It took the neighbor's roof off. It collapsed my grandmother's garage next door. It blew our windows out, and there the three of them sat, 2 windows blown out on either side of them, wind whipping through the living room and lightning cracking in the middle. Well, I'm glad I didn't know about that in 1965. And I'm glad also that that tornado skipped over our street, but unfortunately it hit a couple of streets north. And a couple of years later in third grade, my third grade teacher, Mrs. Hathaway, talked about that storm hitting her street, touching down, and there she was standing in the breezeway with a grandkid on each hip, and they were just watching in awe as the tornado went down the street, sucking up their mailbox, sucking up their garbage, knocking it to smithereens, sending it to who knows where. But I was safe in my basement in 1965. And you know, maybe we feel like we're past the storm, or maybe you feel like the storm has touched your life in some way or another, maybe in sickness or in health. Or just to think about the storms that are around us now, maybe the storm of the financial recession has touched down or just barely skipped over your house as you've seen your friends become unemployed at your company, or maybe you yourself. Or maybe the storm is this healthcare thing going on, where we see in these town hall meetings people so upset and concerned about Medicare or grandma or whatever, and the shouting matches that have ensued. Or maybe your storm is relational. Talked to someone recently who had sort of a twister going on outside of their life, and it was causing turmoil within, and they said to me, "You know," it was a woman, a female voice, "you know, I just want to feel safe in a relationship." What's your storm? And where do we find God's security, like Merrill talked about? Where do we find that reinforced place behind the water heater that keeps us secure in the storm? In Jesus' day, the major storm that his people were dealing with was the fact that the Romans patrolled the streets in Palestine. The Jews were under the Roman boot, under Roman authority under Roman occupation. And Jesus' hearers were different from us in this way. They had a storm, but they were different. Their culture was much more saturated with religious words. Not just because this is the tail end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is three chapters worth, this is a climactic conclusion, not just his words on that mountain above Galilee. It was because every male among them was required to memorize the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, the Torah. So they had religious words in their mind all the time. And their issue was, well, is God's word our security? And Jesus is saying, well, it's more than that. It's not just hearers of the word, it's doers of the word. And so Jesus compared those hearers of the word, like you and like them, to people who only hear the word, to a fool who builds his house on a sandy wadi in the summer. Looks like a great place, except that the fool forgot that when the winter rains come down, that they'll come down that mountain and they'll wash out his house. That, Jesus says, is someone who only listens to the word. But someone who puts a deed to the word is like the wise man who builds his house on a rock, maybe on a ledge up the mountain, something secure, or maybe a rock over to the side of the wadi, so that when the rains and the winds and the storms come, it can last. Word and deed is what Jesus is talking about. As a matter of fact, one more Bible lesson. If you read the whole Gospel of Matthew, it's the most Jewish of the Gospels. And the thing about the Gospel of Matthew is it's very much about creed and deed, word and deed. For the book of Matthew is organized around five teachings of Jesus. And those five were meant to symbolize the five books of the Torah that the Jewish male memorized, right? And this Sermon on the Mount was the first teaching. And after each of the five teachings of Jesus, there were miracle, mighty deed stories that would follow. So that if you wanted to look at your Bible, in chapter 8 begins right away with Jesus' healing miracles. Jesus heals a leper. And then Jesus goes on and he restores Peter's family by healing the mother-in-law, or at least giving Peter more mother-in-law jokes to tell. I don't know what the effect of that was. Or Jesus goes on and he stills the storm and prevents his friend's fishing business from capsizing. Or he goes on and he's in chapter 9 where he's teaching. They hear a noise above and it's those friends that tore away the mud roof and lowered their paralyzed friend in front of Jesus for healing. The mighty deeds go along with the word in the Gospel of Matthew. So let's apply Jesus' creed and deed to today's storm. And I'm just going to pick the three that I mentioned before, the financial storm, healthcare storm, and relational storm. What might Jesus say to our financial storm? And what might be our response? I think amidst the faltering markets and the rising unemployment, it reminds us of that ship, that fishing boat that was tipping, and Jesus saved the fishing business by not letting the boat or his friends go under. And we think about how Jesus stood up in Matthew 8, and after they had woken him up, he stood up and he said, "Peace, be still." And the storm subsided. And wouldn't it be wonderful if suddenly Jesus would do that now and the unemployment would go down and the market would shoot up even faster? But it doesn't happen that way very often, does it? Usually the dead calm that Matthew talks about at the end of this story that was in nature, usually that's something that has to be within us. And you'll notice that the folks who can go through a financial storm with a calm, an inner calm inside, are the people who are best positioned to make it through. Because they're thinking clearly. They're praying. They're looking for opportunities. They may be worried, but they're not panicking. That's what we need. We need to match Jesus' word, "Peace be still," with deeds of peaceful living, of deep breaths, of singing over and over to ourselves, "Be still," God's word, "and know," our deed, "that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." Right? You know it. And that, only when there's a combination of Jesus' word of peace and our commitment to breathe that in deeply and live with an inner peace, will we find security in that type of an economic or financial storm. Well, let's move on to a storm, the healthcare debate. And I'm not sure I'm going to shed a lot of light on that. That's a huge one. But what might Jesus say? What might Jesus? I'm giving my best guess. What might Jesus say to our healthcare storm? And what might be our response? One of my grandmother's favorite names of Jesus gave me a deep love from maybe teenagerhood on for the miracle stories of Jesus. And the name that she taught me was that Jesus is often known, especially in Luke, as the great physician. And we see that in Matthew 8 where he touches the leper. And we see when he touches a centurion. We see that when he touches the paralyzed man, as is depicted here, although this artist showed it as a wooden roof. It was really a mud roof, so it was a lot more messy than it looked here. But the great physician. So one of Jesus' main words, Jesus' ministry was teaching, preaching, and healing. One of his main words in his ministry was, "I heal." And so what does that mean for us? What does that mean for our healthcare debate? Well, here's my simple way of thinking about it. Maybe it works for you, maybe it doesn't work for you. But I'm asking myself the question, is healthcare an earned privilege? Is it on the other side? Is it a right? Or is access to healthcare, the best access for the most people, a goal? I'm sure there's 765 other ways to think of it. This is the way I think about it. So I don't think healthcare is only an earned privilege. Because if it were that, then life would be about our ability. You know, we're wise, we're strong, we can make things happen, and it's all about us, and it's not about God's blessing primarily. And when I look at my life, I think, gee, you know, I wasn't born in inner city Camden. My mother wasn't a crack addict. I was born in America, not in Afghanistan. There are so many places of blessing that I've received that are before I was even able to become a worker or someone of my own industry. But then you can go to the other extreme and say, okay, well, then is healthcare a right? Well, I have, and you may not, but I have a problem with that too. Because if healthcare is a right, then doesn't that mean that I could just sort of roll over in bed and let God or somebody else or the government take care of me? And then I'm losing my initiative, aren't I? Is that the way we ought to think of it? I struggle with that. So in my simple thinking, I'm thinking about the greatest access of rich and poor and middle class to healthcare is a goal. And I'm thinking about it in terms of this miracle. How those friends, how you and I, if you have healthcare, I have healthcare, how we might begin to tear up the roof a little bit to give access to a great physician, to the great physician, to other people who may not have it. And what's the best way to do that? So maybe if Jesus' word is, "I heal," maybe our deed is, how can we give access to great physicians? Maybe that's our deed. But how do we go about that? Gee, well, that's a huge thing. We all have different thoughts and views on that, and I'm not going to wade into that, other than to say that it seems to me that we need to enter into a robust debate about this, as opposed to say, keeping our mouth quiet, or as opposed to, say, a shouting match. And in this robust debate, try to figure out the best way to be a responsible and a compassionate plan that does the best good for the most people in the healthiest way. Pretty vague, but it's my thinking about it at the time. And only when we figure out, when we hear Jesus' word, I heal you, and when we figure out our response to enter into this robust debate, will we be able to figure out the best way to do this? And I'm not sure what that is, but I'm pretty confident that in a country like this, we can enter the process completely. Lastly, what might Jesus say to our relational storm? And what might be our response? This, to me, is simpler. You know, I think about what would be the first thing that Peter and his mother-in-law might have said to each other after Jesus cured her fever in chapter 8 of Matthew. It might have been, oh, you again. Or I would hope it would be something more like, I love you. Glad you're back. And I think about the fact that whenever we're with Jesus, Jesus helps us to say to those significant others, those family members in our lives, somehow stammer, I love you. But I also think about how weak words are, right? I mean, words without actions don't mean much, right? So if my wife, or someone's wife needs them to be a little more industrious and provide for the family, and we sit on the couch with our remote and say, well, but I love you, it won't cut it, will it? Or if another spouse needs a little more physical affection and the opposite spouse just sits on the couch with the remote and says, but I love you, that won't cut it either, right? Or if we're mean to each other in a family, or we're not listening to each other, or we're not cooperating together, or maybe it's outside at work or whatever, and we just say, but I love you. Words without deeds are pretty weak, aren't they? And only when, in our significant relationships, the word that Jesus helps us to say, I love you, is matched with the deeds that the Holy Spirit creates in us, can we find the security to have the adventure and the safety of relationships on the rock. Well, I have no idea. Well, I have some idea what your storm is this morning. And I don't know if it's any of those three or something totally different. But I bet there's a place in your life where you can hear the winds howl, the rain pelt, maybe the hail striking. And in these moments of silent prayer now, I'm going to invite you to try to discern what Jesus is saying there. Maybe just Jesus is saying, I'm there. And what is your response to what Jesus says to you? Will you think about that? Discern the Holy Spirit's leading in a moment of silent prayer. Let us pray. Jesus, as we try to match our deeds with your word, now speak to us in the particular place that we each need to hear it in these moments of silence. And we will go from this place, Lord Jesus, not just thinking it's only your word and letting and figuring you'll take care of us completely without our efforts, nor thinking that it's all up to us and our efforts and you're not even there, but we'll find the combination of your word and our deed to bring the security we need in our life and in the lives of those around us. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, the most ancient creed that we confess is one written in the 2nd, 3rd, 4th century. We're not quite sure, 2nd or 3rd century, probably the Apostles' Creed, coming from their teaching, not written by them. And I invite you to stand with me. I believe it's on page 2. Yes. Stand with me and confess this faith that has produced martyrs and millionaires as people have followed God's leading. Saying together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as you give to God generously and joyously. Know that sometimes our response to God's word is simply a prayer, as Brian and Jeff lead us in that in continued worship.
Pray you'll be our eyes and watch us where we go and help us to be wise in times when we don't know. Let this be our prayer as we go our way. Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace, to a place where we'll be safe. La luce che tu dai,
I pray we'll find your light,
nel cuore resterà,
and hold it in our hearts,
a ricordarci che,
stars go out each night,
la terna stella sei, nella mia preghiera,
let this be our prayer.
Quanta fede c'è,
when shadows fill our day,
lead us to a place,
guide us with your grace,
give us faith so we'll be saved. Sognando un mondo senza più violenza, un mondo di giustizia, di speranza, un ognuno di là, Manuel sol vicino, simbolo di pace, di fraternità. La forza che ci dà,
we ask that life be kind,
el desidero che,
and watch us from above,
ub nunio trovi amore,
we hope each soul will find,
interno e dentro e sé,
another soul to love.
Let this be our prayer,
let this be our prayer,
just like every child,
just like every child
needs to find a place, guide us with your grace, give us faith so we'll be safe. Ella fede che haya chase I sento che ci salverà.
God, you have guided us to a place where we're safe. We're safe from the evil that's out and around us. We're safe, oh God, in your love. We're safe, oh God, in this place. We thank you for that, and we ask that that security that you give us will be strongly present in our lives today, and that we might help others find it tomorrow in the days to come. In your name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Beautiful. Boy, that's got to be one of my favorites. Thank you so much. And what a wonderful duet the two of you did for us. And I don't know if you noticed or not, and I think we kept us safe from a bee up there, too. I saw someone taking a big whack at it and was pretty intense. So safety all around, physical, emotional, and spiritual. That's what we're about, right? Let's continue to pray with me, if you will. Add your thanksgivings, add your concerns, and I will read from the ones that you've already written, and we'll send them on the prayer chain for people to pray this week. Let us pray. Jesus, as we've said already, we're thankful for so many blessings. As we started the service, naming those praises that we have, we named many, and here are a few more, oh God. We're thankful for the Erstats, 23 years of service, of love, of being part of this, making this family safe, and we know that you'll bless them in their new neighborhood and in their new church home in Delaware, and their children who are in different parts of the country. We're thankful, oh God, for the six couples that will be meeting with me after the service to talk about baptism in the weeks and months ahead. Thank you for all of those people and their families that are building upon the rock for their children. We pray also for daughter Cassidy and her good health. We're thankful for that as her loving grandparents. We're thankful for the young man who donated his stem cells to Pete, not knowing him, but just wanting to save a life, oh God. And we add other thanksgivings. Hear us as we thank you for we're thankful for the continued recovery of a dear friend, Mary Ann. We're thankful for all that you have given us. We're thankful for being happy. And then, great God, we add our concerns as well. We pray for healing for Dorothy Kaiser, a sister-in-law. Her leukemia is in remission, but now diagnosed with lymphoma and undergoing tests for colon cancer. We pray for strength and support for the family of a coworker who recently passed away suddenly. We pray for the families of the victims of the Lockerbie bombing. Flight 103 is, for many of them, their wounds have been reopened over this past weekend. We pray for a friend who really does need the prayers. We pray for Allison Cargill, who has been diagnosed with cancer and undergoes treatment. This must be John's father, right? Mother, right? And then we pray for finding a job, and that prayer is for many of ours, the 12 or 11, whatever the number exactly is in the bulletin, who lists them. Continue to help us to pray for them and look for them and send in possibilities that the office might send out to these folks. We pray for peace and healing for Pete Endresek and all those enduring cancer. And we add, oh God, other prayers spoken out loud that we ask your help, Lord Jesus, for prayers for the safety of our servicemen and women all around the world. We pray for 6-year-old Jenna, whose brain cancer came back again. Prayers for Thomas and his son Salon, who are now alone and in desperate need of your help. And great God, we combine all of these prayers with your children in many different circumstances around the world, some sick, some healthy, some rich, some poor, some middle class, some in humid climates, some in frigid weather right now, but you hear them all, some suffering through physical storms and emotional and spiritual storms, some in the calmness and the joy of life. Hear us as we all pray together that one prayer that you've taught us and that you pray with us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You feel it, and I hope it helps you to take the hand of the person next to you and know that there are people on that rock with you. And let me just point out, I don't know how this happens, but we're 5 minutes early, so don't knock on Mark's door yet down here or whoever's in the upper room quite yet. Give them a few minutes to finish up because they're not expecting us quite this early. But know, whoever you are and wherever you go in God's wide world, that Jesus goes with you before you to prepare your path, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you in troubled times to carry you, and most importantly within you, to give you his abiding and abundant peace now and forevermore. And all God's people say.
You've been listening to a production of the North Branch Reformed Church in Bridgewater, New Jersey, in the United States. To connect with us online, visit nbrc.com. Thanks for listening.